3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Hello, this is Roger Molina on Creative Disturbance. I'm delighted to be here tonight with Michael Ricciardi, and we're here about to celebrate Yuri's night. So, Michael, maybe you could introduce yourself and what you do in life.
Okay, thanks, Roger. That's a difficult, tall order, but I'll make it short. Basically, I'm sort of a hybrid kind of guy. I do art, video, film. I'm a writer. I'm also a researcher and designer. And occasionally, I like to make video poems and submit them to festivals or to galleries, whatnot. And I used to do spoken word for many years here in Seattle, Washington, where I live. I'm mostly or semi-retired from doing the spoken word, slam, performance, poetry, scene. But I had a lot of fun doing it for many years.
Okay, very good. And where does your interest in space come from?
Well, you know, that goes back to when we're kids, of course. I'm sure it's the same with you, Roger. You know, probably, you know, the most vivid memory from my youth is watching the first moonwalk. I got permission from my parents to stay up late to watch it, and I was just thrilled. I couldn't sleep afterwards. It was just an amazing experience. And, you know, I've been, like a lot of kids, I was obsessed with dinosaurs and space. That was it when I was, six, seven, eight, 9 years old. Dinosaurs in space. Dinosaurs in space.
Very good. And I don't know whether you know, but I'm actually a second generation rocketeer. My dad was a pioneer of American rocketry, Frank Molina. And so
I am aware. I remember a conversation we had many years ago, yeah. And I was like amazed and very cool.
And so I grew up in a home where rockets were just part of everyday life. And so, anyway,
model rocketry.
Yeah, we organized a rocketry club in our high school, and then I went on into space astrophysics, building space telescopes. So
a small leap.
Anyway, so one of the things that you've done recently, and I think it was for the CineSpace Festival, developed a space poem, as you call it, called "A Dream of Space." Tell us a little about that and the making of.
Well, okay, I'll try to be succinct and fairly brief here. Yes, it was for the CineSpace. Now, the CineSpace Festival was sponsored by the Houston Cinema Arts Center and NASA. What NASA did was they opened up their archives, all their photos and video and audio and film from day one to the public, to filmmakers, for creative reuse purposes. They wanted you to take their footage, alter it, manipulate it, mash it up, FX it, whatever, and create some sort of coherent artwork and submit it. I had this idea. One of the subcategories for the festival was, quote, capturing the spirit of space exploration. And the moment I saw that, I went, oh, I know what I want to do. It's got to be a kid. I got to get a kid like me, like I was when I was 8, 9 years old, obsessed with space, loved every minute of it, everything I saw and read. But if only I could find this kid, you know. So I put out a few little feelers and ads and blogs, and not much luck at first. And then 2 weeks before the deadline of the festival, a mom gets in touch with me and says, I hope it's not too late. My son, Jack, wants to be an astronaut, and he loves space, and he's taking pilot lessons even. And I went, oh, this is great. This is perfect. So I had this idea of a sort of a hybrid poem at that point. It sort of evolved. I wanted to do a mini bio doc of Jack, but a video poem. So not strictly a video poem, not strictly a bio doc, mini bio doc, but this sort of mashup hybrid. Unfortunately, because of time constraints, we were not able to manipulate the footage to the degree that we would have liked. But we went ahead and we liked what we had. We put a lot of work into it, so we submitted it anyway, knowing that it was a long shot. As it turned out, they picked 15 short videos out of 196 submissions.
Uh-huh.
Richard Linklater, who was the director of Waking Life, for example, one of my favorite movies of all time, was the final judge, but it didn't make it past. I got some nice feedback. People liked it, but they said, you know, but as far as NASA went or the festival went, it didn't make it. But I knew I had something that was still special, and Jack is just great in the video. He's a great kid, very precocious, but very amicable and funny. And so it was really a perfect thing, and I'm really happy that you invited me to submit this video as part of your little festivity.
Well, indeed, this video poem is very, very strong, and so I encourage our listeners to follow the link on the webpage to go view the video. One of the things that struck me is this young man, Jack Tyson Robertson, he's a natural, but I think one of the things that's kind of natural about him is indeed the space is just part of his daily life. It's part of what he just feels is part of the way the world he's growing up in. And I've sometimes said that we've made a transition to being a space culture without realizing it. If we started launching rockets tomorrow morning, our civilization would in fact collapse because all our satellite communications, all our GPS is all tied to orbiting satellites. And
right.
So
it's kind how of ironic.
How ironic. And so indeed, slowly we're becoming a space culture. And I think indeed poetry is one way of capturing that. You want to comment on space poems?
Oh, I agree with everything you just said. one thing about Jack is that, yes, you hit it right on the – you hit the nail on the head there. He's grown up in space. Out here in the Pacific Northwest, we have 2,300 aerospace companies, including, of course, Jeff Bezos, with several recent successes in terms of his reuse launch vehicle, as I'm sure you're familiar with. Transitioning to poetry and space poetics, you may recall a paper I did for the Leonardo conference back in 2004.
Yep.
Talking about different collaborative projects, different ways of go about doing this, even though it was really pie in the sky or pie in space, kind of thinking, it was a great creative exercise, and I urge people to go to my Chaosmosis website under the special projects link and scroll down. You'll see a link to the abstract of the paper. If anyone's interested in reading the whole entire paper, it's only 8 pages. I'd be happy to send it to you. But as far as space poetics go, I mean, you know, there's that classic line in the movie Contact where Jodie Foster says that, you know, they should have sent a poet. And it's not that I'm overhyping the role of the poet. Certainly, you need to be a scientist and a poet. But there's this idea that there is such profound, unspeakable, ineffable beauty in the cosmos, as well as frightening danger, that somehow the arts and poetry in general, poetics, which is creation in general, not just what we familiarly refer to as poetry. As Bob Holman, the New York poet, says, poetry by other means. And I think space can provide the infinite venue for that poetry by other means that he spoke of. So uh-huh. I think the use of poetry and poetics and poetries in space is participatory, it's collaborative, and it's boundless.
So I'm just going to jump in with a personal anecdote, which I mentioned to you earlier. So I've been lucky enough to go into zero gravity once, and it was part of a project with the Arts Catalyst Group in London and Leonardo in Paris. And actually, the project raised enough money to actually do some campaigns on the cosmonaut training plane out of Star City, just outside of Moscow. And we took up a group of about 14 artists on this flight, and I was along for the ride, if you like. And I also mentioned to you, I was as sick as a dog. And so what the Russian soldiers did is they lay me down on the floor of the plane and they said, don't move. And every time the plane went into a parabola, I would float into the middle of the room, lying still. Anyway, it was a very deep and strong experience of being in those zero gravity states. And when I got home, I had three kids who were in the early teens, and they, Daddy, what was it like?
And, yes, tell us.
And this is what I came up, and I said, well, you know, in life there are things that you can't describe in terms of the others. The sex, drugs, rock and roll. Well, let me tell you, there's a fourth category. And the answer is we don't even have the words yet to explain what it feels like to be in zero gravity. And so, indeed, I think space poetics is also about creating a whole new way of representing human experience, which until now no human language has had to deal with. And certainly no visual artists have had the opportunity to spend a year in space. There have been some cosmonauts that have done painting in space. So, indeed, space poetry is really pioneering work.
Well, that's great that you said that. I've never heard anyone quite say it like that. And now that you say it that way, I agree. I hope that I can make some minor, small, tiny contribution in that direction. I myself will probably never get to go into space, but I don't want to say never, and never say never. But maybe those I can inspire the next generation that comes along, and maybe Jack, you know, will be one of those people. Maybe someone else, maybe a young girl, maybe someone from India or Africa. Who knows? Who's out there? Who, you know, is that beautiful mixture of scientist and poet? You know, artist and thinker who can combine, see the value in both and integrate them in some form of expression. Who knows, and who can predict also, as you no doubt have thought, who can predict what will happen in the generations to come in terms of a space exploration and what may turn out to be a necessary thing. Maybe long distance travel, long term space habitation. Who knows? One can only surmise and speculate, and maybe write a poem.
And the other thing, of course, and as we become a space culture, we have to start inventing our own rituals and festivals. And so, indeed, Yuri's Night is probably one of many, many, many different kinds of human celebrations that will start occurring over the coming centuries, where we celebrate the dawn of the birth of the space age, the first humans in space, and so on. And so, have you ever been at a Yuri's Night event?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, yes. And in fact, when I was at the Leonardo conference, it was the first I had heard about Yuri's Night. And then in 2008. I was at the Yuri's Night Bay Area, which is San Francisco, celebration at NASA Ames Research Center, Hangar 211. Amazing experience. I got to meet Buzz Aldrin, which that alone is an experience, let me tell you. But I got to premiere my short experimental documentary called My Name is Ham, about the first chimp in space. And you can see it on my personal website on the video link on chaosmosis.net. My name is Ham, and I got to do a presentation, although brief, on space junk and remediation. My space junk remediation project, what was shown briefly at NASA Ames at Yuri's Night, is also on my website on the special projects link.
Okay, fantastic. I'm just going to pick up on that. And so I'm going to do something a little bit unusual because this podcast is being recorded by Hal Clark. Hal, are you there?
Hello. Yes, I am.
Hi, Hal.
Anyway, Hello. so one of the things that Al is working on right now for our Yuri's Night on the Creative Disturbance platform, he's putting together a mosaic of the first human in space, the first chimp in space, and what
Damn.
Else?
Yes, the first germ, first woman, and me and Lena have a few other ideas, but I'm going to leave that for a surprise for you guys. So.
I'm looking forward to that, Hal. I'm
yes.
looking forward to that.
The first vegetable in space.
Yeah, there's a bunch of firsts, absolutely.
First golf club. Anyway, so let me encourage all the listeners to this podcast to check out the splash page where Hal will have inventoried all kinds of firsts in space.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Nice.
We're going to have fun with it.
Very good, Michael. Thank you, Hal.
Yes.
Thank you, and thank you for this podcast on Creative Disturbance.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yay, Yuri.
3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.